sex and happiness.
Both enrich our lives, change our lives in ways that make life worth living. Yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Want you to make me feel like I'm the only girl in the world, like I'm the only one that you'll ever love. Host Lori Handlers helps you to explore, learn about, and most importantly, have great sex. And in the process, she helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness.
Sex and happiness.
You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Hi, everybody. You are listening to Sex and Happiness, a show about sex and happiness, and I'm Lori Handlers, your host. And today I have an amazing show for you. I am being joined by a panel of experts who are going to be talking about the recent raids on the Phoenix Goddess Temple and the Sedona Goddess Temple. These were temples that were created to perform sexual healing, to actually have members of society who felt that they needed touch and healing in the sort of healing for their own bodies, for their own sexuality, take place at such temples. And on September 7th, both temples were raided simultaneously in the state of Arizona, and over 30 warrants were issued for the arrest of people who were in various roles to the temples, people who owned the temples, people who manage the temples, and practitioners who worked in the temples. And at this time, there are still people in jail. There are some people out of jail. But the thing we're going to be looking at today is the overall question, what does this mean for culture? What does this mean for society? And in particular, what does it mean for American society? So today I'm joined by Betty Martin. Betty is a hands-on sex and intimacy coach. She's the mentor for other sex professionals. She's 30 years in holistic health care and 10 years in sexuality and erotic education. Welcome to the show, Betty. It's great
to
have you back.
Thank you for calling us together.
You're welcome. My second guest is Shama Halina. She is a person who describes herself as life all about relationships with self, lovers, others, and everything else. Shama is a life, relationship, and sex coach in the Los Angeles area whose mission is to impart effective tools and skills for conscious and effective relating in all aspects of life to help you create the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show, Shama.
Thanks so much, Lori. It's great to connect with you.
And then my next guest is Scott Katamas. And Scott is an Emmy Award-winning writer and producer, as well as an internationally known teacher and speaker. Scott has produced numerous film, TV, and video projects on sacred sexuality, including programming for HBO, Fox, UPN, and NBC. And he has a feature film called Men in Love. Scott, welcome.
Thank you, Lori, and thank you for putting this radio show together.
I'm thrilled. I'm so glad to do it. It's so timely. We need it. We need to talk about this. My next guest is Eve Lynn. Eve Lynn describes herself as a mature erotic educator, sexological body worker, and metaphysical life coach located in Central Florida. She's also the co-founder of ASEP, Association for Sexual Energy Professionals, whose mission is to be the bridge between socially acceptable sexual wellness professions and somatic practitioners who color outside the lines, fondly known as powerful outlaws. Welcome to the show, Eve Lynn.
Thank you so much, Lori. I'm happy to be here.
And finally, we have Mare Simone, who is an advanced certified tantric educator from the Source School of Tantra. She's also a certified sex surrogate since 1988. Mare's work has been featured in popular tantra surrogate videos and on TV. HBO's Real Sex, The Learning Channel, The Playboy Channel, British ITV, and soon to be aired in a Swedish documentary on sexual healing. Welcome to the show, Mare.
Thank you. I'm excited. Let's get it going.
Me too. All right. So to start, I want to ask Betty Martin, to give us a little bit of context. She has a really good, crisp way of describing who sexological body workers are or who sex workers are. And so, Betty, I'm just going to turn the context over to you.
Thanks, Lori, and thanks for pulling this call together. You know, sometimes when there's something lacking in our sexual lives or our understanding of ourselves, it can be very helpful to talk to someone who knows more than we do or who can give us some support, both in exploring ourselves, learning about ourselves, and in gaining skills. And sometimes talking is not enough, and we need to have experiences with our bodies, so we need some experiential learning. And there's a whole host of people who do a wide variety of approaches to that, approaching eroticism and sexuality, both with talking or with coaching or with instruction, sometimes with hands-on body work, sometimes with individuals, sometimes with couples. There's just a wide range of ways that we can get help and ways that professionals work. The difficulty is that, in the view of the law, if we have a physical experience or touch someone in what may be described as a sexual act and we are paid for our time, then that falls under the laws of prostitution in most states. So this is where it gets tricky and where some of the difficulty comes in with the Athena's Goddess Temple and similar places. There's no way, of course, that I can know what happens there. And even if I did, it wouldn't be my place to talk about it on a radio show. What I can say is that one of the reasons why it's an important thing to talk about it and why it's confusing for people is, where is this line between what's healing or what's not healing and what's prostitution and what isn't? So the context that I want to offer here is that what happens between closed doors, between two consenting adults, is, first of all, none of our business, none of the government's business. Mm-hmm. And second of all, what is it about those experiences that are beneficial to people, that are either healing or educational? That's between the practitioner and the client. There's no way that we can know that. So when I talk, personally, when I talk about sex work, I give it a very broad definition of people who are in some kind of experiential capacity with their clients or students. And so it can be, again, as I said, it can be talking, it can be tantric instruction, it can be therapeutic body work, it can be erotic body work, it can be experiential stuff, it can be just about anything. That's why this topic and this event that's happened in Arizona is so important. First of all, that we look at, does the government have a right to tell us what we can do behind closed doors, with whom and why? And of course, I believe that no, they don't. And second of all, is it possible that some of these experiences are actually beneficial as opposed to just somebody's idea of, you know, something that's spurious? And the answer is yes, they absolutely can be very beneficial. And it's not up to us to decide which activity is beneficial. That's between the client and the practitioner.
Thanks so much, Betty.
Sure.
Thanks for starting us off like that.
Yeah.
Now, I know, Scott, that you had something, you've had some experience in this area, and there were some things you wanted to tell us that are so important to this conversation.
Well, yeah, I want us to just pull back and have as big a perspective as possible, and everyone's point of view is of value. I make my living now primarily teaching compassionate communication, and that's certainly the space I wish to hold for this call. But I also want to add that in addition to a 20-year history of producing stage, television, and a film about Tantra and sacred sexuality, after 22 years of teaching it in workshops, I also, many years ago, lived for 5 years in Southern California in a beautiful home that we called the Love Temple. And we had three healing rooms, three different rooms that we used exclusively for healing sessions that took place, not unlike certainly a much smaller version of what the Goddess Temple was doing in Arizona. Now, I've never been to the Goddess Temple in Arizona. I can only base it on what I've heard, but there's some similarities. And the similarities included that we had a wide variety of healers working for us, and they really ranged from people who did just Reiki, they didn't touch the body at all, to what would be known as full body massage. That's something that was in my world for 5 years, in my home for 5 years. So I really got to know the healers, almost all of whom 80%, 85% were women, including my partner that I was living with at the time. But then I also experienced what is happening in Arizona. We were raided, and I spent time behind bars, and it was a total shock and a very, very extraordinarily challenging time in my life. So I have a lot of compassion for the people who are arrested, and I also want to hold the space of compassion for the police, for the prosecutors, for the people in Arizona who are conservative and whose values aren't being met by their understanding or their perspective of what's happening at the Goddess Temple. And so I'd like to conclude my opening remarks just by reminding us all that we all have a common need for safety, and safety is very much at the core of what's happening here. Safety for people like Mayor and the wonderful women that you've got on the panel to do their practice in the profession and to feel safe. Safety for the clients, but also safety for the community, for people to know that this is indeed a good thing. This is a healthy thing. This is not what maybe a lot of people's minds and imaginations might hold about prostitution or the idea that this is prostitution and all the really horrible concepts and ideas that a lot of people sadly have about prostitution. So let's just try and open up the conversation to look at how can we make it safe for everyone to understand everybody else's point of view.
Thank you so much, Sky. I appreciate that. Now, Mayor, you have probably a very unique point of view on this. Would you like to add something right in here for your opening remark?
I would, thank you. Having been both a sex surrogate as well as a tantric practitioner and blended those systems because they complement each other so well, I've worked with so many types of people, and I just want to kind of punctuate some of the types of people that do come for sexual healing and have great value and benefit from that. Anything from virgins to men in their 80s who don't think that they can, who are capable of having a happy sex life any longer, have been helped by sexual surrogates and services like what I provide. I also happen to know that there was a woman who was in the Phoenix Temple having a session at the time of the raid, and my heart goes out with great compassion to what it must have been like for her, who flew from a distance away to do this work with Wayne Clayton, who is a sexual healer. And during their session, the police raided the scene and walked right in during her probably a very vulnerable time in her life. And I just have great compassion and empathy for, you know, for the safety of the people who come to us and are now maybe intimidated and frightened by coming to us because of what might happen for them.
Thank you. That's great, Mayor. So, thanks so much. And there was an issue also about some kind of advertising or this a sort of safety about Craigslist or Backpage. You want to speak to that for a moment?
Right. Well, the conversations that I've been hearing about, well, people are probably very familiar with the Craigslist killer, which was a big story a couple years ago back in Boston, where a man was hunting down women who were doing sexual services and had this fetish or craziness that he wanted to do them harm, and he killed a woman. And it turned the scene of what was a platform for a lot of people to advertise on upside down, so that Craigslist was no longer able to advertise adult services. And what's happening now is an alternative place where a lot of people have been advertising is another popular sort of freebie paper called the Backpage, and there's an online website presence that it carries as well. And on Backpage, one of the arguments is that there's no way to determine, they don't do a check on people's ages. So people who say that they're a certain age could be lying, and in the case of minors, that causes a danger in our society, that people could be trafficking sex prostitution in an unhealthy and unsafe way. And so Backpage is getting pressed from many different states throughout the country to tighten up their conditions or eliminate erotic or adult services altogether, which is unfortunate for those of us who use services locations like that to develop our business. And
great.
They don't make enough of a distinction that there is are such a huge umbrella of touching a person from the purposes of healing to something that's forced and done against our will. So I really feel like the beauty of what's coming up right now is that it's really causing us to look more closely at what is real valid sexual healing and make a distinction between that and what people do for recreational fun, or the other extreme, what could be, you know, forcible and causing women to get, you know, endangered in situations where they're not safe with men who do want to do them harm.
Yes, it's a good point. So thank you for that. So Evelyn, would you like to make an opening?
Yes, I'm on the East Coast and kind of in the middle of the Bible Belt, quote unquote. And at 68 years old, I've been doing this work for a long time. I too am incorporated as a not-for-profit religious organization and have been since 2001. And right in my articles of incorporation, it states that I'm about, the sole purpose is about bringing together the sacred and the sensual along with the spiritual aspects of our lives. And the issue that I see that we have here is it's not even so much a challenge as it is an opportunity for the real people, for the people like Betty, myself, and Mayor, and Shama, and Scott. They don't see our faces. They think of us as the mugshot. You know, they think of us as what they see the prostitute on CSI and all of that. So they don't see us for who we really are. And it gives us the opportunity to, I feel, to really, really begin to educate the public, because the arousal is there now. They're stimulated. Mm-hmm. They're stimulated all over the United States and all over the world. So we have an opportunity.
News, this news went around the world, mm-hmm. So this is like
totally worldwide. Totally around
the
world.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. One of the interesting things I just jotted down here as I'm listening, mm-hmm. that many of the clients who come to see me have no idea that what I do is illegal. Mm. How could it be illegal? How could what I am experiencing right near be illegal? And the kinds of people that I see are quadriplegic, those who are suffering from heart issues and they've been told that sex is out of place, and those that have really, really need of guidance, and they need more than the talk therapy.
Mm.
And it's wonderful to be able to work with talk therapists who don't want to risk their credentials. So that's where the term powerful outlaws come from.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks for that. And Shama Helena, what would you like to make an opening? Hi.
Yeah,
what would be your opening statement about all this, about the raids on the Phoenix and Sedona goddess temples?
Well, at first, I have to say I was a little angry because I was concerned that some of this, you know, they're very vocal and out there with what they're doing, and it's pushing a lot of buttons. And so it was kind of a pushing against thing, which concerned me, but I recognize that this has to happen, because what needs to happen is that in our society, if you take a look around, most people, unless they're in a relationship, are actually completely starved for touch.
Mm-hmm.
And touch has been shown scientifically to be a very essential part of our well-being and balance. And if you look at societies where sex is a little more open and relaxed, you'll see a lot less violence. And I think it's important to note that when we can bring touch to people and we can bring connection to people, it does help to kind of reset that, hit that restart button like on the computer and rebalance the whole body. And if you take a look at what you experience after a great orgasm, you find you're more centered and in love and connected with all of the everything. And so bringing people into that enhanced state of awareness and consciousness is really an important part of this work. It's not about diddling, and it's not about getting off. I think a lot of the people that are looking at this are looking at this from a perspective that may be somewhat stuck in certain perspectives that are all about the forbidden and all about blocking this sexual energy, because sexual energy is quite powerful and does need to learn how to be managed. And, of course, our position here is that putting a war on this and making this stuff illegal has never served our society, ever. It's always been something that we've had to deal with. And I think a more important approach would be education. and training for people so that they have an opportunity to learn how to manage this energy appropriately. And that's what we do. And
that's
there are
great.
A lot of other workers out there that do sexual touch. There's doctors that tell you to cough. There's gynecologists. There are a number of different professionals out there, including surrogates, who have some sort of the nod from society. And I think if the law just says if you touch someone there, it's prostitution, there's a whole lot of other people that should be going to jail. So I think we need to differentiate. We need to educate people as to what this work is really about so that they can make informed decisions.
Very, very insightful. Well, we're going to pause here for a moment. My question is, are you a woman who could use a little zest and zing in your arousal response? Do you know a woman who could use this? Many women say that feelings of desire, arousal, and sexual satisfaction don't happen as naturally as they would like. So let me tell you a bit about Zestra. Zestra was developed to provide a much-needed option for all women to feel more sexually satisfied. Zestra is a safe, patented blend of botanical oils and extracts created to help women have increased sexual sensations. Zestra comes in convenient, single-dose, personal packets, and each individual packet keeps the essential arousal oils and extracts fresh. Zestra starts to work within 3 to 5 minutes, and we could say that the initial sensations are called the Zestra rush. And then the effects tend to peak at around 10 minutes and last for up to 45 minutes. And the great news is that Zestra can be used as frequently as you like during each sexual experience. I feel that all women deserve sexual satisfaction, so I encourage you to find out more about Zestra by phoning 877-426-8047. That's 877-426-8047. And please say that you heard about it from Lori Handlers on the Sex and Happiness Show. We'll be right back.
How would you like to lose up to a pound a day with no exercise required, with no hunger, without being on a restrictive diet for the rest of your life, and no unpleasant side effects? If this appeals to you, you want homeopathic HCG. How do you get that? You go to hormonenurse.com. That's H-O-R-M-O-N-E, nurse.com. There you can find out about HCG and this amazing diet. It's a diet I've used, and I've lost an amazing amount of weight. I'm back to my college size. Plus, you'll find out about hormones, bioidentical hormones. Perhaps you need that too. You need it maybe for sleep, for sexual passion again, your libido. Go to hormonenurse.com.
Well, we're back with Sex and Happiness, and I'm conducting a panel today about the recent news of September 7th, the shot heard around the world, where sex workers, practitioners, goddesses, priestesses, and others, both male and female, were arrested in Phoenix and in Sedona, Arizona, under the guise of prostitution. And my panelists today are experts in the area of sexual healing, and that's precisely my question in this moment. Some of you touched on it in your opening remarks, but the question really is, for people out there, what is exactly being healed?
Mm.
I heard Mare go,
Mare. Well, this whole idea, I couldn't help but thinking about how the distinction right now is if you touch somebody's erogenous zones for the purpose of giving them pleasure, that's the distinction that makes it prostitution and illegal. So a doctor can touch somebody as long as he doesn't give her pleasure. So that makes that's the legal distinction, and she, if she gets pleasure, has to pretend she's not, I suppose. And the best kept secret, there's a video out right now about orgasmic birthing, and the subtitle is called "The Hospital's Best Kept Secret," that women are having orgasms while they're giving birth. It's amazing.
I teach them how to do that.
Wow, that revolutionizes lots of things about women, about the power of our bodies, about the power of life and sex and creation and all of that.
Are you saying that there are doctors who are helping women have orgasms when they're birthing, or are they calling in people like you, Shama?
Oh,
I teach people how to do it through hypnotherapy.
Oh, hypnotherapy. Great. Okay, because I do know a doula who helps women do that, and she's been on my show before. It is true that that happens, but that's a whole other thought about it, which I'm glad you introduced it, Mayor.
Well, what comes to mind, which I saw recently online, is all of the original vibrators were designed and used by doctors to help women who had hysteria because they weren't having orgasms. So they would come to the doctor, he would give them a vibrator because it took too long with his hands. So this is how the story goes, that it evolved, that he would then give them an orgasm induced with this vibrator to relieve their stress. And they'd go home, and they'd do this once a week.
I heard that the vibrator was the third device to receive electricity. The first one was something like electricity, the second one was an electric fan, and the third one was the vibrator. So somebody knew something, a little something about something back then.
It's a really fun and educational and informational direction you guys all kind of went into, and I'd like to bring it back to what's happening in Arizona and its impact on the planet.
Sure, sure.
Thank you.
And I would like to ask the listeners, as they're listening, as well as those of us on the panel, to remember that everybody's point of view is real in that moment to that person. And it was, I don't remember which of you mentioned it, but it's really right on, that there's so many images. When we hear words like prostitution, pimp, it raises images, primarily, you know, what's based on the media. And likewise, when we hear images like goddess and angel and healing, we get different images. And what I think we have an opportunity to do here is to not have this incredible polarity where sex in one frame is bad, and yet on the other hand, we see sex used to sell just about everything. Certainly every magazine cover is using sex to sell whatever the content of that magazine is. And so if we can bring together, and ironically that's what Tantra, as everybody on this panel knows, but for the people listening, Tantra means to weave. Well, here's a wonderful opportunity for us to really weave together our understanding of healing, massage, therapy, which is very vast and has a big, wide variety, with the values and needs of everyone involved, including the people who are afraid, the police or the community that are behind the arrests.
You know, somebody asked a bit ago, and I think I'd like to address it, what does this stuff actually heal? And I can give you a perfect example. I had a client visit with me yesterday who has been in a marriage for over 10 years and who's extraordinarily shut down and skittish because his partner has not been interested, and his partner is so shut down that if there's even images that make her, that refer to sex, she shies away. And when he came to me yesterday, the first thing I did was just give him a hug with some deep breathing. He just looked at me and started to cry and says, "I've never been hugged like that in my life." And you could see his body go from like somebody standing on a tight wire, scared to death, ready to jump, to deep and profound relaxation that he'd never experienced in his life. That's just one example, just from a hug.
That's a great example.
I also, this is Evelyn, and I also work with a variety of people who, everything from sexual abuse to post-traumatic stress disorder, who just need to be able to, we have to remember that orgasmic energy is the process that creates us. Mm-hmm. It's a process that heals us. Mm-hmm. And in that regard, just giving people permission, understanding that there's no such thing as sexual dysfunction, it's a misunderstanding about how your body works with your energy, and giving them permission to be, just giving them permission to allow themselves to be sexual beings is a very, very healing, and everybody needs that.
Yeah. Evelyn, just on that point, I learned recently that with oxytocin production in the brain and other chemicals like oxytocin in the brain, it's actually possible to erase traumatic and painful memories without reliving trauma. So with this brain stimulation of various chemicals that have an effect on the brain with orgasmic energy and sexual healing, this is what's stimulated in the brain, and it It can actually erase shame. It can erase guilt. It can erase other traumas which are not sexually related or might be sexually related. So it's a very it's a biochemical effect as well as
spiritual
effect.
Yeah, it's been proven
effect.
Very effective for post-traumatic stress disorder in many, many, many different kinds of instances. And, you know, I've had soldiers who I've just given a massage to who start to cry and release
cry.
So much pain and anguish and fear, because what happens is what we're dealing with, this is not just orgasmic energy. This is life force energy. This is the aliveness. This
yes.
is the essence of our aliveness.
That's totally what it is.
And what happens is through stresses, our body literally contracts. All the muscles contract. Everything contracts and doesn't allow flow. So that's why you feel so much better and looser when you've been dancing.
Mm-hmm.
What is happening with this sacred touch and compassionate touch and moving this life force energy consciously through the body is it opens up the flow of body chemicals. And it opens up the flow of things that need to get where they need to go, and it opens up the flow of things that need to be released, even biochemically. So it really is like hitting that reset button on your computer.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Great point.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my question, I have another question, which is, Scott, you said something about safety. You're not the only one, though. Mara said something about safety. Is there something else? Is there anything else in that around the issue of safety that anyone wants to point out?
Yes. What I'd like to say is that that's the way that when we're talking to someone who has a completely different belief system, we can establish connection. I trained when Obama was running for president, I trained people to go out to red states and knock on doors and to talk to people who were very conservative, who had voted for Bush and Cheney for 8 years. And the whole point is when you're talking to someone who has a completely different belief system, we want to find something we agree on. What can we connect on? We all can connect on the need for safety, the value for safety. The therapists and healers want to feel safe. The community wants to feel safe. Everyone wants safety. And so when we are talking to somebody who has a different belief system, whether it's about this or anything, that's a wonderful way to start the connection. So that's one point of view that I'd like to offer up.
I agree, Scott. And I'd also like to chime in terms of safety, that what I'm hoping will come from this whole expose is that it will help us as a whole, as a collective, along with the government, to regulate sexual healing in a way that there is safety for the practitioners, that there is safety for people who can come to receive this service, and that there's a distinction made which really draws an outline of what a sexual healer really does provide. And I have a lot of ideas on how we can, and how important it is right now while people are looking at this and asking, well, are they prostitutes, for us to really define what a sexual healing session is like. And as a surrogate, this is a gray area. I know it's not completely legal or illegal because it hasn't caused any problems yet. And it's only when there are problems or issues that arise that things start to get brought into the courts to be judged. So I'm hoping that this changes the way that we look at sexual healing.
That's great. It's a great point, Mara. On that point, we're going to take a short break.
Mm-hmm.
And you're listening to Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handlers. And this show today is of a panel of experts, including Betty Martin, Shama Halina, Scott Katamas, Eve Lynn, and Mara Simone. And we're talking about what is happening as the national and international news boils up about the recent raids on September 7th of the Phoenix and Sedona Goddess Temples. So we'll be right back, and we'll be talking more about this. Stay tuned.
Wondering what book you should read to jumpstart your sex life and increase your happiness? Try my book, Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by me, Laurie Handlers. This short, easy-to-read book will make you laugh at yourself, and it may possibly make you cry as you discover my tantric secrets for happiness and how they apply to you. In the book, I begin with the 10th law, make love in the unknown,
And then I work you all the way through laws 1 through 9 to teach you how to be in the unknown, fresh, every moment of every day of your life. Sex and Happiness puts the innocence and love back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. It's only $19.99 in paperback and $14.99 ebook. Go to sexandhappiness.com to order your copy of Sex and Happiness by me, Laurie Handlers.
Are you in pain or unable to sleep? Ever hear about how the body needs glutathione for natural cleansing? Could you use a boost of energy? Try Life Wave Patches. There are a variety of patches to choose from. Each one of them is designed like a small band-aid to help your body with the challenges of life when you're simply not getting what the body needs for support. And you can use these amazing patches on your pets. Go to Life Wave Patches for Pets and People on Facebook and see Suzanne Summers' interview with Dr. David Schmidt about patches that reduce stress and inflammation while increasing energy. You can also find out more at ValerieHandlers.com. That's ValerieHandlers.com. Or call Valerie at 714-928-6399 to order your patches or consider becoming an independent Life Wave distributor. That's 714-928-6399.
Have you ever wished for an end to pests in and around your home, around your office? Stop paying for dangerous chemicals that can harm your children, your pets, and your clients. Today in Arizona and Florida, an environmentally responsible pest control company named Ladybug has set up shop to provide natural and organic pest control services. Ladybug can help you stop even the most persistent, nastiest bugs with green, organic products that are friendly to people and pets. In addition, there are franchise opportunities in Arizona, Florida, and throughout the USA. To learn more about Ladybug's home-friendly and earth-smart green pest control services, visit the Ladybug website at ladybugcorp.com or call us at 561-276-7600. Ladybug guarantees you another eco-friendly, pest-free day, naturally.
I'm Laurie Handlers, and you're listening to Sex and Happiness. And this is a show about sex and happiness. And today, possibly more than other times on this show, we're with a panel of experts who are actually talking about our legal rights to sex and happiness, our right to get happiness from either the stimulation of our sexuality, producing brain chemicals, if you will, the safety of people who work in sex-positive services, the people who seek out these services, all of it, everything from orgasm entitlement to the legalization of what it means to be somebody who is a sex worker. Everything, we're dealing with everything on this show today, and it's a lot. We left off with Mara saying that she was hoping that this we would be able to take a look at some regulation of what actually constitutes sexual healing, what is appropriate for sexological body workers. For people actually knowing the definition of this rather than it being a gray area.
I'd like to speak to that a second.
Sure, Shama.
One of the things that we've been batting about in the community on some of the forums is that, you know, rather than looking to the government to tell us what regulations are appropriate, who doesn't really understand, I think it would be in our best interest as a collective to come together and put together a set of guidelines for ourselves that shows everyone that we're on this, that we have ethics and morals and values and an understanding that we need to show up in a certain way for our clients. And I think if we do this for ourselves, some of the need for that imposition can be taken away and it can give some powerful input as the government looks at how some of these laws may need to be rewritten.
What a great point.
Mm-hmm.
What a really
great
point.
Yeah, that's
really
a good one. I agree.
Yeah,
so are you,
I have a little different view.
Okay.
Yeah,
I do
good.
Too.
I agree with Helena that there is a lot of conversation in these communities and it's absolutely worthy conversation, and it's up to us. It's not up to the government. But I would like to disagree respectfully with Mayor about what I think you're saying, and many people say, is that if we can distinguish between practitioners or sessions that are for the purpose of sexual healing and somehow distinguish between them and prostitution, And that's where I disagree for a couple of reasons. One is that what happens between a client and a practitioner is highly individualized and personalized.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way that we can judge whether this person are your sessions healing enough to be qualified as healing, or this other person's sessions are not, and therefore we're going to call them a prostitute. I think that's an artificial line.
It's a very hard line to draw.
Yeah,
I agree.
And I take the view that it's an impossible and an unnecessary line to draw.
Okay.
Because it's helpful for the client to know, of course, and it's essential for the practitioner to know. But as far as the law is concerned, I think it's a false line because, first of all, two adults behind closed doors, it's none of our freaking business what they're doing and why they're doing it and who's paying who to do it. It's just flat none of our business.
Mm-hmm.
But the second thing is, if prostitution were not illegal, that is, if it were decriminalized, as I believe it should be constitutionally, there's no reason to have a law against it. It's a victimless crime.
It's not a crime.
If it were legalized, then the rest of these questions would be absolutely moot. We don't need to create a church structure in order to do our practices because they're not illegal. And we don't need to call them something else because they're not illegal to start with. So that's another reason. And the other is that the law, it is a very gray area. There's no way what I'm doing might look like prostitution to you, but there's no way for you to judge the healing impact on those of us involved. There's just no way we can judge that.
I think
for people who have an intention to have a healing approach to their practice, absolutely, we need more training, and that's why I teach my workshops. But as far as the law is concerned, none of it should be illegal. Period.
Well, I think law is trying to create a separation where there is a drug-infested part of prostitution, where there is the hardcore and forcible prostitution with pimps, where it is a very dark and seedy road.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I would try to find and define a line.
Yeah.
I agree. I think prostitution can be very helpful. And a lot of men send their sons to a prostitute to have their first experience.
Sure.
It's very common.
Sure.
And probably lots of law enforcers do that.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, I think the problem is not prostitution. The problem is drug abuse and other things that sometimes happen around prostitution. You know, if there was trafficking in accountants, we wouldn't outlaw accounting. We'd outlaw trafficking. Sure. So why are we outlawing prostitution to try to get trafficking? Trafficking is already illegal.
Right.
You know what the problem is? Prostitution is relegated in this area because it has been criminalized. And when you criminalize something, it creates criminal environments that, you know, if it was legalized, if people were taxed, if it was an honored profession where it's set up so that it doesn't have to be this criminal experience, you'd have a much different view of it. And I think if we go to Sweden or if we go to other places where it is legal, you'll find a much different environment.
Exactly.
Anytime you criminalize something, it's going to pop off into perversion all over the place.
Absolutely right. That's a strong point.
Go ahead, Scott.
We live in a very, very imbalanced country. Again, we use sex to sell everything, and yet we have this very strong Judeo-Christian ethic. And when you were talking about how prostitution over a very long period of time in our particular culture, especially in America, it's been demonized, it reminds me of what, if we go back 2,000 years ago, happened to Mary Magdalene and how she was demonized.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to turn this into a whole conversation about that, but I'm sure most of you are very well aware that Mary Magdalene was not a prostitute and was not the way that she's been made out to be. And it's an important analogy for our culture. Our culture has not integrated sexuality and spirituality. Our culture has not integrated the masculine and the feminine. And realistically, I think it'll take a very long time for laws to change. It takes a very long time for the government to change. And so bringing it back to what's happening in Arizona right now, this is an opportunity for us to try and educate as many people as possible about the wonderful work, the wonderful service that the women on this phone provide, the positive attributes, the positive aspects, and to try and acknowledge those religious views and values that cast a veil and a taint over everything that we're talking about.
Well, you know, Scott, what you're saying here is pretty important. I mean, just the sense that I know that it takes 50 years for a change to take place in the American school system, like for a real change to take place. So you're talking about institutions, bureaucracies that are pretty much like dinosaurs moving so slowly. And I couldn't agree with you more that this is an opportunity for everyone to come together and to be able to agree at least on education, what there is to say about this, how there is to keep this in the spotlight and keep positive things like what we're talking about in the spotlight so that people can find out that they don't have to be afraid. And I think that was, you know, the point about the safety. Someone may choose to not partake of the services and healings being offered by practitioners, but that doesn't make it wrong, and it doesn't mean that they have to be afraid.
One of the great questions that can come out of this particular incident, because it's not like going into some seedy brothel somewhere that pretty much everyone's going to feel bad about, but because these people have presented themselves as sexual healers and teachers, and many other people who do similar work are speaking up. I think one of the questions that arises, which I think is very valuable, is that people have the opportunity, the public has the opportunity to say, to ask themselves, wow, is it possible that sexual services can sometimes be of great benefit?
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
Is it possible that sexual services can sometimes be of great benefit? And if that question even gets raised, that opens a huge, wonderful, very important, beautiful door.
I agree. You know what's kind of fun is there is a Christian organization that's a lot more sex positive than most that talks about these very kinds of issues. I think it would be interesting to coalesce with them a little bit and see how they're approaching it, because they definitely understand the nature of what they're dealing with.
This is great. It's wonderful to hear that. Well, in the interest of time, I need to say that I'd like to let people know how they can get in touch with each of you and then see if there's an ending remark that each of you might have. Betty, you just said something that was really powerful, and Shama, Helena, you added this thing about the Christian organization, but perhaps there's one point that each of you would like to make. So I'd like you to share how people can get in touch with you, like the easiest way to get in touch with you, maybe not all five websites, but maybe one. And then some closing remark that you'd like to make.
Sure. My website is bettymartin.org. The thing that I would like to say in closing is that there are times in our lives when we need a little help. And sometimes that help is in the form of experience as opposed to just talking. And in our times in our lives when we need that kind of help around intimacy and sexuality, there are many people who can provide that type of help. And I'd like to see that more accepted, and I'd like to see all sex work of any kind decriminalized.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Betty. Thank you so much. Someone else? Scott, I'll ask you to go next.
It's very easy to reach me. My website is lovecoachscott, lovecoachscott.com. First of all, I really want to honor and acknowledge each and every one of you that are on this panel. The work that you do is very powerful work. I know several of you personally. I've watched your work. And I just want to say that for anybody listening, if you haven't experienced true sacred shamanic healing work as the women on this panel offer, please experience it. That's the best way to really get a sense. And for myself, I do a lot of coaching all day long. I do 3 or 4 private sessions a day via phone, Skype, or in person. and I teach workshops on compassionate connection throughout the United States. And you can learn more by going to my website, or you can email me, SC, my initials, SC, at lovecoachscott.com. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott. Thanks so much for joining us today. How about Evelyn? How can we get in touch with you?
Yes, I'm in Central Florida, and my main practice is with men, women, and couples. And I work in erotic education, and my specialty is sex and disabilities or perceived disabilities. My website is www.awakeningbody.com. The Association of Sexual Energy Professionals is www.goasep.org. You can reach me, contact me through either one of those websites.
Thank you. Anything you want to say in closing?
Oh, in closing, yes. Oh,
yes.
There's so much I'm going to say, but I'll always, what Betty said is just about exactly the way I feel about things. And I feel like our birthright, it's not only our birthright, but as Shama, I believe it was, it said, our orgasmic energy is our life force. And it's not only our birthright, but it's our responsibility to move that life force energy through our bodies. And at 68 years old, I can also attest to, it's the proverbial fountain of youth.
Mm-hmm.
When you are in orgasmic energy 24/7, you're living life full to its fullest. And that's it's not about having sex, turning it on, turning it off. So all of this healing comes into play with orgasmic energy.
Well said. Wonderful, wonderful. And Shama, how can people get in touch with you?
They can reach me through my site at thepleasureparadigm.com. And also at Love and Life Tools, I have videos and audios and all kinds of things available for just this kind of education for people. So I think a lot of us need to get out there and spread the education a little more. However you can do that in your world and in your environment, the more you can show people what this stuff really is and have examples of it, I think that's what's really going to show people what we do.
That's great. Thank you so much. And Mayor Simone, how can people get in touch with you, Mayor?
Well, my personal website is maresimone.com. That's maresimone.com. And a good email address for me would be tantramare@gmail.com. My closing statement that I'd like to make is I feel a point that I wanted to emphasize is that when we veered off in the jokes about it, the point I want to bring it back to is that bottom line is that pleasure has become illegal. Pleasure has become something that's controlled and governed in such a way that there's a lot of touch-starved and sex-starved and love-starved people on this planet, and
here, here.
That our work needs to reach these people. And so as we're speaking today to whomever and all of you that are listening in this audience, I want to, first of all, apologize if I seemed like I was making a distinction that sexual healing was different from prostitution. I think prostitutes are very healing people, many of them. And I feel what we really need to heal is the power of pleasure, the importance of joy and pleasure and happiness and feeling good in our bodies. And so I want to call together a coalition of all people across the planet who have anything to do with sexual positive empowerment and can create together a team that is much more powerful than we are as separate units. I think that this whole discussion is bringing about an opportunity for us to all band together and create a much bigger community of all sex positive people. And I actually feel a really strong vision around that I would like to discuss. Maybe I'll just plant a seed right now and say that this is a conversation I'm going to continue to have, that I would like to, now that the public is looking at what is Tantra, what is sexual healing, what are these values, I want to create an opportunity that's a much bigger forum, but something like this, where we have a summit of bliss, a summit of tantric consciousness related people who all come together and offer our teachings, record these teachings, and make it available to the world at large so that they can listen in while this conversation is rising and hear our voices really speaking about what we offer in an hour-long format so everybody gets to really present something of value.
That's great, Mayor. Thanks
great
so much.
Idea.
I certainly will be instrumental in having that happen if you like.
Wonderful. That's, absolutely.
It's a wonderful, wonderful idea. I just want to say in closing before we leave the show today that the bottom line of this seems to be the separation between body and mind.
Mm-hmm.
And if we realize that everything is in the body, the mind resides in the body, the brain is in the body, everything's in the body, and with no body, with no feeling, with no ability to have nerve endings and nerve synapses rise up to the brain, we just might as well not even be alive. So this has been an amazing experience having you all with me. I appreciate you so much for the work that you do, and I thank you so much for being my guests today. And this is Laurie Handlers. I'm signing off for Sex and Happiness. I want to acknowledge my sponsors, and I acknowledge all the people in the world who are doing sexual healing in one way or another. Thank you for being courageous and brave, and especially the people from the Phoenix and Sedona Goddess Temples. Thank you so much for pushing the envelope so that we all get an opportunity to publicly speak about this in front of the world. Thank you.
Right on.
Thank
beautiful.
You, Laurie.
Thank you, Laurie.
Thank you.
After listening to the show, if you feel moved to take action about what has happened and continues to happen in the state of Arizona in the case of Tracy Elise, whose bail has been raised to $1 million, that amount usually reserved for people accused of murder, here's what you can do now. What is needed is a patron with an activist nature and money to contribute. Also needed are letters testifying to the authenticity of the religious practices that were practiced in the temples. These letters have to speak to the religion practiced and the sincerity of the practices aimed at alleviating common suffering around the root chakra from blocked sexual energy. If you feel so inclined, you may also comment on Tracy's integrity as temple founder and leading minister in this national movement. It's essential that your letters arrive via email immediately, as an attempt is being made to make a plea at lowering her bail bond. Please send all testimonials to phoenixgoddesstemple@gmail.com. That's Phoenix, Phoenix, Goddess, Goddess, Temple, Temple, @gmail.com. Many times you've heard my guests and me discuss emotional release techniques. Now you can do emotional release work in the privacy of your own home. In my CD, Shamanic Release in Lati Han, I create a very, very safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work I'm known for in my Tantra courses. First, I set you up with the proper positioning and breathing, and then I guide you through emotional states to the beat of tribal African rhythms. Try this CD as an easy way to do your personal clearing work on a regular basis and watch your relationships walk free from emotional baggage. You can order my CD at butterflyworkshops.com for only $20. I believe you're worth it. I hope you do. Go to butterflyworkshops.com and get your copy now and walk free from emotional baggage.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Laurie and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. And if you'd like to listen to podcasts of Laurie's previous show, Tantra Cafe, please go to tantracafe.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Want you to make me feel like